And today my sermon title is Stand Firm, No Turning Back. Stand Firm, No Turning Back. And let me begin with this brief reflection. It says, God's word acts like a slow drip, not a big splash. And the writer says, in her book, Walking in the Dust of Rabbi Jesus, Louis Teberberg retells the following story about a famous first century rabbi named Rabbi Akvia. One day, as a rabbi was shepherding his flock, he noticed a tiny stream trickling down a hillside, dripping over a ledge on its way towards the river below. Below was a massive boulder. Surprisingly, the rock bore a deep impression. The drip, drip, drip of water over the centuries had hollowed away the stone. The rabbi commented, if mere water can do this to hard rock, how much more can God's word carve away into my heart of flesh? The rabbi realized that if the water had flowed over the rock all at once, the rock would have been unchanged. It was a slow but steady impact of each small droplet year after year that completely reformed the stone. And so Lois, the writer, comments, when I first started studying the Bible, the Bible's Hebraic context, I wanted one commentary that would teach me everything, one class that would explain it all. If I could learn all the right answers in one marathon event, all the better. I find now that God likes to reveal truth over many years. As I study alongside others, I realize now that big splashes aren't usually God's way of doing things. Instead, through the slow drip of study, prayer, day after day, year after year, He shapes us into what He wants us to be. Amen? Drip by drip, year by year. So if we don't feel like we already have been made in God's image, totally reformed, we are made in God's image, but if we don't feel like we are totally reformed, don't worry so much. Day by day, God is working in us. And how true that is. As we have read for the last 4 weeks, Jesus, slowly but firmly, have been stating over and over again that He is the bread that came down from heaven. The last four Gospels that we have read here, Jesus has been talking that He is the living bread, right? And they don't get it, and they began to argue. And then when we get to this Gospel, to this reading today, He told them that they have to eat His flesh and drink His blood, and they went crazy. Right? Because it sounded so far out for them. But Gospel of John is the one who talks about that, because John writes like that. It is not the physical eating of the bread and the physical drinking of the wine Jesus was trying to emphasize. It was to get so close to Him that you would what? Abide in Him. And He would abide in you, is to get to know Him. But after He said it, this time, finally, we then read from the scripture that says, because of this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer went about with Him, because they got upset. They turned back. And we know many people turn back now just because they hear things and Jesus is not alive, Jesus was just a man and God is dead. They turned back, the gospel said. And so Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? As He asks us all the time, you know, in our own way. Do you wish to go away when something doesn't work out for us that we have been praying for? The question comes, Do you wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So Simon Peter believed at that moment, you are the Holy. Where can we go? And I thought about this last night, and I could just imagine the disciples saying this little song that we have here in one of our hymnals. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen.
In essence, that's what Simon Peter was saying. Where can we go? The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. And then we have to make the decision sometimes, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Amen?
Amen.
We could see Simon Peter saying that as we declare. And even when he would mess up and he denied Christ, Christ knew his heart that he had been committed to follow Jesus. Now, friends, is it easy to follow Jesus all the time? Jesus tells us it's easy, but we know we go through trials, ups and downs, and all kind of situation, and we want to turn back, don't we? If truth be told, not even necessarily turn back, but there are times we what? Question, and we get pulled by the world. You know, we know that we live in a world where there are distractions, trial, calamities, pandemic, right? All kinds of things that happens to us. And that makes us question our faith, weaken our faith, and sometimes we don't want to continue. Or our faith wavers. So Apostle Paul would tell us, which is my main part of my teaching today. There's another file, Susan, another slide. Apostle Paul would say to the church at Ephesus, who was going through difficulty, the church at Ephesus, because what? They were pagan worshippers and all of that, and some of them were worshiping the god of the god, one of the gods here, the love god, and they were stopped believing in Jesus Christ and going the other ways, and they were being swayed back and forth. And Paul says, you must what? Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor. And in the text it says, the full armor. Put on the full armor of God. So today I want to talk with you, the pictures there, and talk about how they laid out the armor of God. How do we put on the armor of God? So that picture will stay as I go through the piece and the order in which the armor of God is laid out, right? First of all, Paul says the belt of truth. Can you see that around his waist, the belt of truth, right? Stand firm, then, he says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, right? The belt of truth. Every other piece of the full armor of God is attached to the belt of truth. See, they start with, because everything else is attached to the belt of truth. If you don't begin with truth, you'll never defeat the enemy. You have to begin with truth. And Jesus said, God's word is true. So the first thing we have to do is believe that God's word is true. That is the belt of truth. We must believe it. If we don't believe that God's word is true, then why bother? Right? So the belt of truth tells us to put on what? That the truth of God, to believe that his word is yea and amen. Amen, friends. And then the next thing, as I look, it's the breastplate of righteousness. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put it in place. And some writer says that breastplate does what? It protects the heart, protects the soul. Righteousness means being made right. To be justified, being made right because we believe in Jesus Christ, right? Sometimes scripture refers to righteousness that Christ gives us. It says we are justified by faith when we believe in Jesus Christ. We are made right. Right? We are made right. And so the righteousness of God, the scripture tells us, refers to righteousness that God carries us through. The righteousness of faith. And so we put on now the shield, right? The breastplate of righteousness. Because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that would protect us. And then the next thing he goes, he says, the gospel of peace. And with your feet fitted with the resonant readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Peace is an attribute of the Lord. Of the Lord. Every person knows that that's God, Jesus' character. When I say to you, my peace I give you. My peace, not as the world gives you, from the scripture. Jesus always offers peace. So the gospel, when we bring the gospel to someone, it is the gospel of peace. So we're fitting our feet with what? The gospel of peace. Because it is a character of Christian. And that peace means wholeness. The gospel, which means the good news, is the forgiveness of sins and access to and oneness with God through faith in Christ. The gospel of peace. The gospel is never to bring conflict. It is peace. And then the writer says, now the shield of faith. Remember, we are putting on the full armor. You see, do you see the shield of faith? In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. When Paul wrote this passage, Roman soldiers carried shields that were covered with heavy animal hide. Before a battle, they would dip their shield into the water so that when the fiery darts hit them, the wet hide would extinguish the darts. In a similar way, a Christian shield of faith needs to be regularly dipped in the water of the Word of God. Our faith must be dipped in the Word of God regularly and to be replenished and fully functional, because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. We must be in the Word, hearing the Word. That is our shield of faith, right? Continuously, we must. And Paul is using this Roman soldier image because of where he is, right? And what an excellent understanding of the full armor. And then he says you must what? The next thing is the helmet of salvation. He says take the helmet of salvation. What does that mean for us? Salvation comes the moment we place our trust in Jesus Christ, in his death and his resurrection. That we must believe that Jesus Christ is payment for our sin, was complete and full. The helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness works together, right? We are justified by our belief and by our faith. The helmet of salvation, it rests on the work of Christ to save us. So we must first accept Jesus Christ. And then finally Paul says, he says, put on what? He says, you have to have the sword of the Spirit. And we can see the sword of the Spirit, right? The sword of the Spirit. What is that? He says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is also what? The Word of God. It says it in the Scripture. The sword of the Spirit. It is the Word of God, so that we can speak the Word of God into our situation, into our circumstance. Whenever we are going through difficulty, we have the sword of the Spirit. And then Paul says, when you're done, what do? You pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. So that end, you will be alert and you will what? Persevere. And after you've done all of that, stand. Keep standing and stand firm. Because now you have on the full armor of God. Amen? There are many people who are not wearing the full armor of God, many of us Christians. We take up one, we put it down. We don't wear it, and then the enemy comes into our lives, or we get distracted. But Paul reminds us this morning that we need the full armor of God, the full covering from the very top of our head to the sole of our feet, right? Have the breast, we have to need of that breastplate around on our chest. We need to have the belt of truth around our waist, believing that God can and God will work through our circumstances at all times. Amen, friends? So it's okay to say we're going to follow Jesus, but we cannot do it alone. We cannot do it alone. Following Jesus, we need Jesus. We need to be in church. We need to be in His Word. We need to be in prayer. That's all Paul is telling us. We need to wear the full armor of God in order to withstand the wiles of the evil one. So I pray today, those who are listening online and those who are here, that you too will put on the armor of God, the full armor of God. And you know what? We could start if we haven't. Sometimes we look at it and we say, oh, you know, I don't really have that on or that. But today's a new day. And today is a new beginning. We can and must. And then we can say, no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Because I have on that full armor. Don't be distracted. Don't watch the isms and the schisms. Because Jesus is the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Amen. Blessings to you all this day. Stand firm and no turning back. Amen.